Hello and welcome to Vampow TV, a weekly recap for Sweating in My Garage. Ugh. We are here to
talk about how
moist it is.
How long have Beatrice and I been like, let us help you clean this thing out, move everything to center, and then we should fucking re-insulate the whole thing, and then we could put like warming and cooling pipes in the floor, and then when in the winter it'll be warm, and in the summer it'll be cool.
I'm not paying for pipes in the floor.
We can pipe this. It's just laying down pipes and then laying down concrete on top. It's not difficult.
You know Monica knows how to lay that pipe right.
Nice. You're welcome. My God. We are here to talk about season finale of Supergirl. Cloak and Dagger.
Thank Christ.
Number 4. Luke Cage is back.
Number 1.
And Jessica Jones. Number 5.
Number got her shit.
Number 6.
Number 6.
Powing on through.
Powin?
Powin on through.
Bam
powin? Yep. Pew pew. So, I guess let's just start with Beboverse stuff and talk about Supergirl.
There's only the one.
Yeah, there is only one true Bebo. You're right. All hail.
Hashtag hail Bebo. But anyway, I was really glad that this was the finale because this season has been a trial.
It meandered. And we were talking about it a bit before we started recording. I think a lot of it was the showrunner getting fired and it just not having a unified voice to say, hey, this is the story we want to tell.
Yes. And while I'm not upset at all that they fired that guy, because you should definitely fire people who are garbage, it did lead to a disappointing back half of the season. I wish they would have had somebody on the staff to really step up and take the reins. And obviously, we don't have any insight into what was going on behind the scenes, but the back half of this season did feel pretty disjointed.
Yeah. It makes me wonder also if that's why they started putting in the same time slot as Legends and finished Legends up, because they're like, oh, shoot, we don't have a story. Crap.
Yeah. Everyone panicked. That makes sense. To give themselves a little more time to hammer out the scripts before they had to shoot them.
Yeah. So, I mean, earthquakes worsen. Oh, man. Marin, like, fucking merged into the earth and just pulled it together. And that was cool.
Him saying goodbye to Jean, I was like, don't look at me.
Yeah. He and Jean and Alex and their little family thing. Yeah, it's been the best part of the second half of this season.
Correct. Yeah. I'm pretty bummed that we didn't get to hear more about what happened to Marin. Like, is he just dead?
Yeah. I don't know. I hope not. I hope
Did he merge with the earth? Isn't he the earth now?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
They didn't say Marin did it. So, like, he couldn't have died if he can then affect what the Earth is doing.
Okay, so then I guess my question is, can he come back from that? Or does he have to stay merged with the Earth forever? Is he still conscious? Is he still...
I feel like if he could do it in, he could do it out. Like, yeah. he visits on Christmas.
Like, I would think that, but the way they reacted felt like they were never going to see him
again. Yeah, I think he's stuck in
there. Maybe because it's an entire planet, there's really no way of coming back from that.
Yeah, he had to spread his consciousness too thin, potentially, and lost himself in the process.
Well, in his body, too, because doesn't he morph kind of... He, like, morphs into the Earth while in the Earth. And so, like, he literally spread himself really thin.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fun. I liked him. So that worked. Sam was in Dreamland and talked to...
Not what they call it.
Ghost Mom, and that was weird and out of nowhere. I don't know why that happened.
Why was she there?
Who knows?
Like, I don't... Okay. So I'm all for a redemption story arc, but this mom was a mom who lied to her daughter and then threw her out when she got pregnant as a teenager.
Yeah.
And never once apologized for that to her face. She apologized to Supergirl, yes. But she didn't apologize to Sam.
Well, I think she apologized to Sam in this episode.
No, this
does not count. Ghost mom doesn't get to make apologies. Yeah.
No. No take backsies.
Also, how would Ghost Mom know which puddle to drink from? Like,
Ghost Mom knows all.
Oh.
So, yeah. Sam drank from
the pool
a pond.
Of strength?
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. There's the pool of strength and the pool of weakness.
Stabbed Rain. And then Rain got hucked into goop.
Here's the problem with that. Rain has been flying in and out of that fucking cauldron of lava fire for 3 episodes, but suddenly being thrown in it by Supergirl means she dies in there. This was garbage, and I'm angry about pretty much the entirety of this episode.
The one nice thing is now we have another hero putting her tits into the timeline, and that's great.
I think you mean flaps.
That's what Nora did. So I feel like each person shoves something else into the timeline.
Why?
I don't know.
It's a move. Everybody puts their dick in the timeline.
No, no. No, Wally, like, butt bumps the timeline. No. He just, like, comes up and gives a good old,
I don't like this. I was gonna say, like, he's Charles Boyle and his dad. Butts, but he's not gonna get that reference.
I get that reference. I know who Charles Boyle is.
Okay.
I don't get
the reference. Have you experienced his dad, Leslie, yet?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, just wait.
Anyway,
a bunch of people died, and I went, well, that's not real. And then she was like, I'm gonna go back in time, and I went, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. So she does the Superman back in time thing.
At least no, she didn't fly around
she
the earth.
Does, you know, I would have been happier if she had, because
Same!
It would have been such
a
great shout out.
The earth. I was like, do it, Kara, do it.
Ooh, we also got a brief shot of Kal-El himself.
Sunshine Superman, my man,
oh,
my love.
Yeah,
Tyler Hoechlin.
Heavy rumor is WB came down and said, you just cannot use Superman in TV anymore, which is why we're not seeing him anymore in this show. Which
That's
is hella dumb because
why?
I don't because fucking BVS and I don't know. Who knows? Because
they want the only Superman to be in Justice League movies?
Yeah, I think so. Same as Batman and
are they gonna take the Flash then?
I doubt it, because that's already such an established thing where Superman was more just a bonus person that was showing up.
Are we allowed to talk about him?
I mean, they
showed Tyler Hoechlin in the outfit.
Did they?
He was on the TVs
on the TV
in
screens.
James's office.
Oh, weird. I'll have to go back. I missed that.
Sunshine Superman on television.
Huh.
Like, it was like a pan, but it was obviously him.
I wonder if that was reused footage so they could get away with it or something.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense if it's old footage.
I hate that.
Yeah.
He's the most perfect Superman.
I know. He's so great.
Like, no offense, Henry Cavill, but you're not the guy.
Oh, no. Full offense.
Full offense,
no,
Henry Cavill.
No.
You're not the guy.
Henry Cavill, I think, would make a very good Superman if they let him be happy.
Different writer and a different director and
yeah.
a different studio and a different owner. What?
Because dude's got the look for it. And as seen in other movies like Man from U.N.C.L.E., like, he can be very charming and fun.
And fun. Man from U.N.C.L.E. is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I imagine Man from U.N.C.L.E. is how Clark and Bruce would be if they let them have any fun in the DC universe.
Yeah, basically.
Because, like, Armie Hammer is that, like, crazy angry Russian is so straight-up focused Bruce Wayne.
Well, there's been some really good Superman and Batman animated movies in mm-hmm. which they get to have that sort of fun antagonistic friendship.
Yeah.
Where it's just Clark needling Bruce about being so dour, and then Bruce needling Clark about being too naive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just, like,
which
having a good time.
Yeah. Well, they'll never let us have them be friends in films.
No, because that's not, I don't know, it's not something.
Yet another reason to not watch Supergirl next year if I'm never going to see Tyler Hoechlin and his delicious bubble butt in the outfit again.
And Wynn is gone. He's into the future.
That's
Man.
My question.
Brainy.
Yeah.
Do we care?
I mean, okay, I like Brainy.
I do like
okay.
Brainy.
But it's not a fair trade for Wynn.
No.
Because Wynn has been the one constant this
yep.
season. He's always
He's
been
the
great.
Heart of the team.
Again, it's annoying. He apparently asked to
yeah,
be
no,
in less stuff
that's
next
fine.
Season.
I guess.
Oh, I mean, that, I always respect the actor's decision. You know, if you want
yeah.
to pull back, that's fine. I am sad because I love Wynn.
Yeah.
And so then my question is, are we going to get to see him at all? Are we going to get to split our time? You know, even if it's only 3/4 to 1/4, are we going to get to spend some time in the future?
Legit, I could take like 4 out of 24 episodes with Mon-El and Wynn in the future.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fun way to break it up.
Team or whatever. What are they called?
Legion of Superheroes.
Excellent.
I don't think
you got to that section on Farscape, but they did have one of the seasons where they split up the main team, and so you had...
No, I watched all of Farscape.
No.
Nope. You just didn't watch the movie. Okay. I saw the entirety of that show, and then they turned into cubes in a boat, and I went, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But at one point during one of the seasons, they split the team between
two ships. Yeah, there's a baby ship and the mama ship mm-hmm. or something, yeah.
So then you would do one episode on the main ship and then one episode on the mama ship, and so they ran completely different storylines concurrently, which I thought was really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So you could definitely do that.
I'd be hella down for it, because I think that would help fix the problem that Supergirl and Flash both have of
too many
episode bloat. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
a Caesar. We just need to Brutus
season.
That thing.
I mean,
ugh.
Stab it
9 times. Get us our 9 sets of 3.
Yeah.
That's too many.
That is. That's a lot.
I think
maybe
3
8.
Sets of 9.
That would be the exact
so
same.
That's the same number of episodes, though.
Maybe 3 sets of 8.
3 sets of 8?
Yeah, then you get 24. Ace
of three.
That's very small arcs.
So that was my point. Small arcs.
I know, I was ignoring it to make you crazy.
So, everything's better.
Mon-El's gone.
Mon-El's gone.
I think Kara might be a sociopath because her reaction to him leaving was confusing.
Yeah.
Based on her reaction to his declaration of love.
Because didn't they kiss?
So weird.
They, like, made out and were like, we'll be together on Argo now and I can stay here with you. And then he's like, I think I have to go to the future. And he's, like, crying. And she's just like, okay, cool, sounds great.
Oh, so my one thought on that is that at the very end, right, we see that the rock, the blah, 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 seems to have split Kara in two.
Yeah.
Which is also something that I've seen on many genre shows.
Like Kryptonite.
So it's possible that...
Purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. That the Kara we have here, the one who we saw say goodbye to Mon-El, is Supergirl. Is only Supergirl. She's all about the job. She has, like, very few, like, tender thoughts and emotions. And so then the other Supergirl is the Kara side. Is the heart, is the emotion.
Well, I like that, but I think that for what they want to do with the show next year, that's backward. You're not going to convince Kara, who loves everything Central City and the people in her lives deeply and passionately, to turn on them and become a Russian spy. But you could talk business Supergirl, who's all about the job, into believing that America has become, through no fault of its own, a threat, and she needs to protect Russia.
Yeah, and then we get a gender-flipped Red Sun storyline. Yeah.
So, interesting. Yeah, I think I like the idea. I would agree with it. So maybe, but I wouldn't agree that Kara is the one in Russia because that doesn't make sense for what they want to do with this split.
Okay. Okay.
Mm. And,
that's what I got spoiled on last week. Wynn's leaving, Mon-El is gone, Brainy's staying, and there are two Karas and one of them is in Russia.
Mm-hmm. And Lena's making a synthetic Hera now.
Oh my god, the fucking, whoever wrote the article I read was like pissed because she's like, can we let go of Lena Luthor might be evil? It's been 2 years,
yeah.
And she's not.
Yeah,
she's
I just
fucking
don't.
Not, and I'm tired of it. She deserves better. And I was like,
She should
make whatever she wants and do with it what she wants. I think we can
trust remember the
that
time.
She has everybody's future and good, like, in her head, and that's what she's working toward.
Also, remember, like, 8 times now where they're like, oh, Lena, stop doing that, you're being evil, and then that ended up saving the day?
Yeah, I do remember.
Man, good
and
times.
I remember none of them really apologizing for it.
No.
No. Because the show keeps telling me, oh, Supergirl is great, and Supergirl never screws up. And then I feel like every episode, Kara fucks up 4 times before she finally gets it right.
Both emotionally and as Supergirl, she fucks something up.
Yeah, and then Lena gets all this shit, and every single time her plan saves the day.
Mm-hmm.
She has never failed.
No, she's great.
Also, she's never really had to make emotional apologies for her behavior, because she is thoughtful, kind, and generous as a friend.
Yeah, like the closest it got was... her having Sam and not telling the DEO.
Yeah, that was
and even
the closest.
Then, it
and
made
it was,
sense. Cause,
it was for Sam.
Yeah.
She was being a good friend.
Yeah, and she made a very good point about how the DEO is a shady secret organization.
Yeah.
Why should she trust them? She even when there was an emotional problem in a friend group where she doesn't like Supergirl, but she likes Kara, she was open about that, too. She doesn't keep secrets. Not ones that are dangerous for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, I'm mad at the show. She's not evil. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, because she has that moment in the elevator where she unloads a little bit to her friend,
her
Kara.
Her friend, Kara.
About how she doesn't like Supergirl. She thinks Supergirl is kind of the worst, but every time she's just with Supergirl, she is very professional.
Super professional. Even when Supergirl was trying to, like, get her to like her, she literally went, why do we need to be friends?
Yeah,
I
look,
can work
we
can with
work
you.
Together.
You can work with me. We don't have to get drinks after, and that's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I love that elevator scene also.
Oh, so great!
Because Kara's just like,
so satisfying, because Kara is vaguely a piece of shit. She is narcissistic and selfish.
Well, and like,
as they have written her.
And I don't mind a character who's a dirtbag.
No.
Know? That could be great. But well,
I like the ones who know they're dirtbags.
Don't, like, dear show, don't sell me an angel and then present me with a dirtbag.
Yeah. Yeah. I want a dirtbag who knows they're a dirtbag.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jason Mendoza.
Knows he's a dirtbag and is fine with it. Actually, you know what? I don't think he's aware he's a dirtbag, but, like, he's so positive about everything that I don't care.
I don't care.
Is this Good Place, Jason?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Jason Mendoza, the purest
that guy,
of all dirtbags.
He's a trash human being.
He is a garbage person, but, like, he's so pure and innocent about being a garbage person.
Man, he's real dumb,
really
too.
You can't really be mad about it.
Yeah.
And he's so dumb.
So dumb.
Oh,
so
my God, like that one time where they all get something great, and then Jason got a balloon shaped like Pikachu.
I like the one where Jason figured it out, and, like,
Michael had
to sit down. Oh, that one hurts.
So good.
That show is so good. When is the third season of that?
Not forever.
Fucking fall.
But anyway, this show was kind of a trash heap.
Should we talk about the fact that the only way in which women can be police officers, firemen, or members of the military is if they reach some sort of captaincy
and are
in charge of people and no longer go out into the field?
Weird.
Should we talk about the 1990s feminism we're rocking on this piece of shit show?
I do.
Hidden behind a garbage line from Jean of you can do whatever you want, but also supporting, like, he literally goes, you can do whatever you want. You're amazing and perfect and competent and wonderful. And then he follows with, it'll be so much easier to do this one thing because you'll be in charge. And I'm like,
It's frustrating because I am excited for Alex to be in charge of the DEO. I think
she'll
do a great job.
And she'll do a good job, but, like, you can
it's presentation frustrated me.
In the field and have a kid. Like, people do it all the time.
What?
Yeah. So that was annoying.
I have never seen a lady cop, so I don't
believe you. Or a lady firefighter, apparently.
No. Lady EMTs? Nah.
No lady fighter pilots?
No. That's hot. No ladies in the armed forces who have to be away from their families
No lady soldiers in wars? No.
Just not done.
Okay. 1950 fucking five, and
somewhere,
I want to die.
Somewhere Agent Carter is
rolling in her show's grave.
Okay, let's talk about Cloak and Dagger. Episode 4!
Oh, dear Kenneth, I'm so sad that you don't like this show, because...
I should not watch it while hungover.
I'm so bummed out that you don't like this show.
Step 2, I hate this show.
This is so funny, too, because this is our whole... You love Guardians of the Galaxy, and we do not situation. Like, this is the opposite. We feel about this show the way you feel about Guardians.
Yeah.
And, you know, vice versa. And this is sad.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, like, when I watch a lot of shows that we watch, and they have, like, explosions after explosions and, like, 20-minute fight scenes.
Yeah.
Rain and Supergirl in their punch fight in the air.
Oh, well, that's boring fighting.
Right out. Yeah. And I'm on my and I don't care, because this is what I'm here for, us talking about shit and working through shit. And this, I think, just for me, it hasn't reached the point where I'm bored.
It's honestly, it's kind of a good thing that I don't like this, because it's meaning superhero TV shows are hitting the same point the movies did, where there's enough of them that you can have specific genres within the superhero show.
I think Black Lightning was the first to kind of break out. Black Lightning is a superhero show, but it's about a black family living in a small-ish, underrepresented town who happen to have superhero powers.
Yeah, and I do, I actually do really like the stuff with Tyrone and his family.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been very interesting. It was fun watching him cruise around with his dad, because that was a nice little trip out. But yeah, for the most part, I'm just so bored.
Well, I know, but, like, the show, it's just saying a lot, and it's doing it subtly, which I really like. Like, her being the, like, homeless kid who lives in a church and lives on her wits while also being beautiful and blonde and white, and him having two alive parents who live in the burbs, and he goes to private school, and they're very, very black, is just... It's an interesting dichotomy, and...
Yeah, I think my favorite scene in this episode was just the end of their conversation in the church.
Yeah, it was hard, but it was good.
Where he's like, well, no, that's your privilege. She's like, my privilege? You have two... Yeah, you have two alive parents, and, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, that's so rough on you. And then his response being, this entire country is trying to kill me.
Yeah, I like that. She thought he had it better, because he does. He has money, and he has a comfortable life, but... She is able to be a con person because no one looks at her and thinks this person is dangerous. Whereas he can't walk into a police station as a black kid comfortably because it's terrifying that it could go horribly wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see both of them having the grass is always greener thoughts. Mm-hmm. I did really like when they went to the his dad's old, like, Mardi Gras group friend thingy. And he found Billy's cloak that he was working on. I'm like, yes.
I know, he picked that up.
Cloak.
Yes. And I like, there's a lot of stuff of people working through their own shit together, which I also really enjoy about stuff. So I actually, the fight they had was really tough because, like, it's hard to watch people who care about each other fight because you always know exactly what to say. So, like, that sucked, but I know it's a good step in the right direction because you have to fight if you're going to build a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, with Billy and the cloak and his dad, I like that they had that moment where his dad just freaks out and is like, you can't do it, you can't do it. And it's just dad guilt stuff that they, like, worked through together, which that's what I'm fucking here for.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, he sort of snaps at his parents in the morning on his way out the door and he won't eat his mom's breakfast. And then he comes home and his dad is like, I was super mad. And also I see that my bolt cutters are missing.
Yeah. That conversation was also like terrible, but good. And like his, you know, it's none of your business, dad. And the two of us both like flinched on the couch and we were like, he's your dad. It's his business till he's dead. Sorry, kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm in my 30s, but if my dad asked me a direct question about my life, I would probably answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think even now, I'm not sure I could say, that's not your business.
No, I don't think I would say that to my parents. Which is like, it's true, it's not their business, but they're my parents. Like,
yeah, it's still a it's weird, like a shaky line.
Yeah, like, they raised me and you don't do that to your parents.
Yeah. Tandy's mom's boyfriend, Greg.
Oh my god! Apparently,
actually good dude. Yeah, well, not anymore.
Well. That was so lovely because she's so suspicious, and based on what we'd seen of Greg so far, I kind of was on her side.
Yeah, he looks skeezy. He seems skeezy.
But, like, you know, having a wife and only really there when we see him, he's, like, in a bathroom doing drugs and then, like, whatever. But knowing that all he wants is like, a future with her mom and her involved. Not even just, like, only her mom, but he was down for Tandy, too.
Yeah, and so genuinely happy when she showed up and asked if she could help on the rocks and stuff. Yeah,
they had a conversation. I like in his hope flash forward, I guess. They were in that same shitty house. So it's not like he wanted to save them from poverty, you know?
Yeah.
He just wanted a part in their lives. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was so lovely.
But not no mo.
No, he did. He did. He got real dead.
Assassinated by.
So mean. So mean of the show. So, like, to get me to a point where I like him and then immediately shoot him in the face.
In, like, a well lit windowed room. I was like, hey, girl, maybe like close the curtains.
Yeah.
Not subtle.
They ain't got time for that.
I feel like Roxxon doesn't give a shit.
No, they're out of control.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, this whole episode basically split between Tyrone and Tandy talking in the church, and then everything else that was happening.
After. Yeah.
And then we catch up at the end there. It looks like they have a fight, and then she's like, you know, fuck it. I'll show him. I will kill myself.
That was tough because, like, I actually really enjoyed how frankly they talked about suicide. Just two teens very openly discussing the idea of suicide, because I feel like it's pretty taboo still. And I like that he basically said, nothing is as bad as all of that, but I think the way that he delivered it kind of negates where she's at, and that's why it didn't go so well.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, her going through it was really tough to watch, and I was like, he's just going to show up like he does, you know?
Yeah, I thought he was going to save her.
Yeah, but I thought he was going to. Nope.
Nope.
Her powers literally were like, nope, we're not done.
Which is interesting because it sort of reflects for me the your inherent human survival instincts. Yep. That you can be in a dark place where you think, oh, you know,
this is it,
and I'm going to do this. But if you put yourself in that situation, your body will always try to save you.
Yeah, it's like, no, what you doing?
Well, and most people who do it and, like, survive, they don't actually die. They almost always say their first thought was, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
Like, immediately after they think it's going to work or it's happened or they've jumped off the bridge, their first is like, fuck, none of my problems are unsolvable. I was just in a weird place.
Yeah.
So I like that it's not even her powers. I'm sure she got down there and she's like, what the fuck am I doing? Also, her knives can cut through anything.
Which is good to know.
Oh, yeah, she's like sawed through a safe also.
Yeah, she did.
That was very cool.
I was like, when she came up and like she cut the rope, I was like, that's cool, but like, what about your ankles? But I guess okay. And then when she got through the safe, I went, oh, she cut through this.
Yeah, yeah. and so it ends with Tyrone going to the police station and asking for O'Reilly,
the actual cop.
Yeah, the one who shot his brother. Hunting. So
it's gonna be interesting.
I am interested to see what happens next episode.
Tyrone, you should clue him in that you're hunting him. Yeah, no,
this is a terrible plan, but he's trying.
You should probably gather a bunch of information on how this guy is dirty and then take it to the local paper.
Yes, you can't go to the boss because the boss already covered for him. You have to go to the paper. Or the police in the next district, maybe.
Or the FBI.
The FBI. The FBI will come down, maybe.
You'd have to have a lot of good evidence.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I feel like you should probably not tell that guy, I know what you did, because then you probably
I'm coming to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you kill your family or something terrible, because fucking dirty cops are dirty.
I mean, I love this show, and I'm really bummed out that you don't like it. Mostly just because I love it so hard, and I want people to like it.
Yeah, for sure. It's inhaled spit. I'm so good at breathing.
I'm so sad, Caleb.
I'm sorry. Womp womp.
Womp womp.
It's fine. Two of us love it.
Yeah. That's enough. Okay, but let's jump over to something everyone loves. Jessica Jones!
Hey!
Jessica!
So, Trisha's full-on addicted to...
I am very concerned about Trish.
Kick or whatever.
I'm watching her dig through her apartment, and I'm just like, Trish, you've been here. What are you doing? You know what this is. And then she, like, I don't know, she boned down with
Malcolm,
and she probably shouldn't have, and...
Probably not, but also that dude's hot, so...
I mean, straight up, they're both real hot. Yeah. I get it, but I'm mad because she doesn't have any feelings for Malcolm, and she now knows that Malcolm has feelings for her, and that's a dick fucking move.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
It's always vaguely shitty to find out that somebody has actual feelings for you, and then be like, oh, okay, let's have sex.
Yeah. Not cool.
Not cool.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, maybe having Malcolm close, he will also recognize the signs because he's in recovery.
Legit,
as well.
I thought that's what was going to happen and they weren't going to bone down, is that he was going to be able to see, like, recognize the signs, but also he's probably thinking with his lower appendage.
Yeah.
And it doesn't care if she's connected to something.
He's like, there's a girl on me.
She has boobs. I assume that's how it works, right?
Yeah, basically. That's how it goes. So we get a lot of this with Jess trying to track down Punchy Lady. She used the good old rice trick to dry her phone out.
Oh yeah, it's a classic.
Should have had a newer iPhone, then it'd just be waterproof, but you know.
Or you know, made of many
get Apple Care.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's pay that however much you need. It doesn't matter. But they're able to work with. I like just the subtle commentary on stuff.
I loved that shop owner. He was great.
Yeah.
Where he talks about how he's, you know, maybe not here legally and how he keeps getting robbed, but he can't call the cops because his whole family will get deported. And just saying, look, we're not going to call ICE on you. We're that is like a daily concern for us right now. That people in who live nearby to us could be in constant fear that anywhere they go they could be accosted and suddenly deported. I mean, I'm reading shit about people who are pretending to be members of the clergy, pretending to be doctors, pretending to be people in positions of authority, and then using that to break up families and deport people. It's fucking gross.
That's really gross. Yay.
But that guy was great.
Yeah, he was cool. And they were able to pull footage and see that that doctor that was in the aquarium with the lady, and I should learn people's names.
I like Punchy Lady.
Punchy Lady and Creepy Doctor. He did something that looks like it knocked her out and then took her away. And so Jess sends Malcolm over to his old university, and he meets up with an old flame, and it was...
Nice, even, but also, like...
Like, a shitty. Little shifty to, you know, apologize to someone for being a total trash bag so you can steal their security card. But also, it was a nice apology.
Hopefully she
viewed
won't.
In a vacuum, it was super great.
She won't... Maybe you know it was him? Maybe?
Oh, she knows it was him.
Yeah.
I saw my dirtbag ex who was addicted to drugs, and suddenly my ID is gone.
Yeah.
I do like that he felt shitty, but then I was like, this is what being a PI is. Like, it sucks, but if you want to do your job, you have to manipulate people.
And yeah, you have to be vaguely shitty.
It's easy to manipulate people that you know because you know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe in the future he could get a little bit better at the snatch and grab, and so he could just take that off of somebody who doesn't even know him.
Yeah. I think he'll get there, because I feel like Jessica could have done a snatch and grab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. So they learned that, Ambrose is the doctor. He went to this university.
Oh, you remember his name.
I'm pretty sure he just wikied it.
Oh, yeah. No, I looked it up. Because names. So good at it. And they find out that he has been buying stuff, but not has, like, no address or anything. And
Ambrose isn't the doctor. Ambrose is the
painting
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah, never mind, yeah.
The evil octopus doctor.
Yeah.
Octodoc.
Octodoc. Nice. Yes. Look at that.
Octodoc hasn't been paying his own bills for 20 years, because a doctor, or a hosiery man named Ambrose has
That's been right. Him. Okay.
So she hunts down Ambrose at an all-men's golf club, which was also hilarious.
Yeah, that was great.
Also, I didn't think those still existed, but I guess, of course, they do.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
I feel like we're not part of that circle, so, like.
No, yeah. We wouldn't know. I've never been in a country club in my life, I think.
I went to a driving range a couple times. That was cool.
I've been to a...
Also, we should go to...
I've been to a shooting range.
That's nothing like golf, but okay.
I mean, you stand in a little thing and you aim it something far away.
We should go to a driving range. You get beers and you whack balls.
I'm into it.
Yeah, it's super fun. There's one over in a...
As long as it's not 95,000 degrees.
Yeah, let's go in like...
We'll do it not in like October.
Yeah, yeah. we'll wait a hot minute.
No, they are really high up, so you get more wind.
Yeah.
Let's focus on it.
Okay. Also, remind me to talk to you about driving ranges after this is over. I have a cool tidbit. So, yeah, they track him down. He's like, hey, look, yo, maybe he's not doing all the best things ever, but this guy saved my kid's life, and that's pretty awesome. So, yep, I'm going to pay his bills. I don't really care. And
well, it's pretty interesting to me that we're seeing two very disparate sides of this guy, and it makes me wonder whether or not that it could be that this doctor is a good guy who signed up with IGH because it gave him an opportunity to help people. I don't know.
I definitely believe this guy is a good guy and has no idea what he signed up for or is paying for. Mm-hmm. I full on think that the Octodoc is doing hella shady shit and just not telling Ambrose about it.
Oh, okay. No, I think even Octodoc might be a good dude.
I think he
actually
might be a good dude.
Oh, really?
Because I'm wondering about all the stuff at IGH might have been on, like, a higher level, and that...
Oh, and he was, like, a doc on the ground
He comes into this just really wanting to help people, and it's sort of like when you take... If you're an engineer and you take money from, like, the Department of Defense because you want to build your thing, and you come into it just wanting to build this thing to help
and
people...
And then you find out later that it's being... Okay.
That they use it to, you know, make drugs.
I mean, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'd really like that,
or
actually.
Or it could be even he went in willingly knowing, hey, this is a shady group. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to fuck with my morals in the hopes that in the long run it helps people, which I think also would be pretty cool to see.
Or he could be a complete sociopath who only wants to do cool science, and the helping of people who need help could just be his way of validating all the terrible things
uh-huh.
he does.
Yeah. Yeah, so interesting to see where that goes.
Like Ted Bundy working the suicide hotline.
That's freaking weird, man. That makes me really
Ted Bundy working a suicide hotline, or her knowing that Ted Bundy worked a suicide hotline. It's a fucking toss up.
Why not both? So Jess is able to get information out of Ambrose after leaning on him with the help of his son, which not great, but
no,
again,
she's
it
a
works.
PI, and we know that she would never have hurt that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he doesn't know that.
She even feels bad about it afterwards, because she has that monologue about how, you know, I keep moving the line and then I step over it, and how do I know when to stop or at what point I'm no longer a good person? Which are good questions to be asking
yourself,
Jessica.
I feel like if you're still asking those questions, you're a good person. It's when those questions stop that you have to start thinking that you are no longer a good person.
Mm-hmm. So Jess tracks down the location, goes to this abandoned-looking house, and surprise, it's her mom.
It's her mom! And apparently her brother's superpower is that he can heal people.
Yeah, dude, what?
Which we found out via Hogarth and her new homeless friend.
Yeah, that was... I really like their interactions also.
That was such an interesting turn, where Jerry's being, you know, her shitty Jerry self, and the girl's like, okay, cool, I'm just gonna steal all your shit and bail.
Yeah.
And then... through finding her meds, remembers that she was a nurse once.
She's like,
time.
Oh,
once
God damn
she
it.
Cared about people, and she had a job that was important.
Yeah.
And I do like, she showed Jerry that she was going to take everything, and then even when Jerry was being a dick, she stayed.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nurse. A nurse just sits through all that garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know what you actually need versus what you think you want.
Yeah, and I completely agree when she said, I didn't tell you everything because I didn't know. I don't know
you
or what you want this information for.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want it because you're dying, then I'll tell you this.
Anyway, flash forward. Punchy Lady is mom of Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Her brother has healing powers and is probably alive somewhere.
Yeah, I wonder if dad's running around now.
Is Doc Ock? Octodoc? Her dad? No.
No. She'd recognize that, I would think.
I don't know. She'd recognize her mom's face just because she has weird hair now.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird hair and 20 years later. Like, that's people true. Change a fair amount.
It's just a memory, I guess, she has of her mom.
It would be interesting if you hadn't seen a member of your family for 20 years and they had very different hair. Would you be able to recognize them if you assumed that they were dead?
I don't think I would, no.
It's tough. It'd be one thing if I, you know, was walking down the street and I saw my mom across the street, you know. I'd be like, that's so weird, but I would recognize her. But man, 20 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Especially because Jess was still a kid when they died.
Oh, yeah, quote yeah, which died. Can't help with your memory either, because kids are dumb. Okay, so, yeah, I'm happy to see where this goes.
I'm really enjoying this season, actually. A lot of people were saying it was slow and stuff, but I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm kind of enjoying Jessica figuring out who she is now.
Yeah, and it's weird because at its core, the show is a decent amount like Cloak and Dagger, where it is just a lot of talking and wandering places.
Why don't you hate it?
I don't know. I really like it. I don't know why this talky show is great and the other one I really don't like. And I wonder if part of it's because it's more, you know, like noir stuff and everyone loves totally a good also, like.
You're already invested a full season, whereas Cloak and Dagger, you're not.
Yeah.
Well, there's some interesting stuff that this season keeps. They keep using different splashes of purple. That I noticed that when she went to see the super and she knocks over a can of paint and it's the purple paint.
Yeah.
And then when he paints her portrait, he uses shades of pink and purple. And then when she goes to the house later in the episode, there's a stained glass window with a variety of colors and two of them are purple and like none of the other colors are repeated, only the purple one.
Interesting.
And I was like, this is interesting use.
Yeah, because, you know. Last season was the Purple Man. I think they're trying to reclaim it and say Jessica's moving forward and away from it.
I thought he was supposed to show up this season in flashbacks also.
He might.
Because I heard he was cast for this season.
He was in this season.
It could be leading up to more PTSD-ish flashbacks too. Also, man, ew, that whole... Okay, so let's talk about Luke Cage, Harlem's bulletproof defender. We opened the season and he's... kind of a celebrity. He's got his own app tracking thingy where people can check him in when they see him, which
he
didn't
is like it was his idea.
Oh well, yeah, no,
and it is not.
No, and that's not.
He hates
great.
It.
I would hate it. That would be real annoying. Pop Shop is selling Luke Cage merchandise,
which is great.
Yeah, which is nice. You know,
drug dealers are selling Luke Cage merchandise.
That's not great.
It's not great.
Yeah, heroes got to get paid though.
I like how everyone in his life is like, take that money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we can't profit from misery. I'm like, someone's going to profit. It should be you. You're taking bad money and using it for good things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's going out of his way to only hit houses with money. If there happens to be money there, like, take it.
Well, I like the idea that Claire makes of how people don't really know how to take him. You know, are you a vigilante? You know, like, what's your game? So if he set up some sort of for-profit heroing business.
Where people
something
could
that could be
hire
called
him,
maybe? Heroes for Hire?
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, that'll never catch on.
Maybe make some friends, bring them in.
Yeah.
Misty, finally, like, Colleen, have his best friend.
Like Danny, I guess.
Yes.
I'm actually pretty excited. I got a little spoiled on later in the season that, you know, Danny's going to show up. Surprising no one.
Really?
And apparently...
I'm
was
actually
great.
Excited.
Yeah,
no, I'm
like,
excited.
It was his arc in this was the best Iron Fist television show that has ever been put out.
Yay!
Which is not saying much.
I have hearts in my eyes right now.
I know.
So excited.
Yeah, I'm hyped for that.
Because legit, I want to like Danny. I love him in the comics, and I love him in Luke, and I love him in Misty. So that's very exciting.
Misty loves him in Misty.
Yes, know
what
she
I'm saying?
Does.
Mm-hmm.
I do think. I didn't like him and Claire's relationship. And they were, like, gooey and gross, but it's mostly just because I...
You just hate happiness.
No.
You're like, ugh,
he belongs
happy people.
With Jessica, so it's hard for me.
I know.
But it's fine. Claire's leaving after this season, and there will no longer be a night nurse.
So. Which is too bad, because she had her own theme song now.
It is.
Yes, theme song. Night nurse.
Night nurse. That was but, like, great. Also it means, like, Jessica.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited for that.
It's weird to me how they've swapped all the pairings.
Yeah.
Because, like,
Colleen was dating Danny. It's weird.
So now we have to figure out a way for Danny to date Misty and for Colleen to not, like, be weirded out. I don't know. And for them to be, and so for Colleen and Misty to be super, to be friends.
Yeah, so Colleen and Misty have to be BFFs while he and Colleen break up and then he starts dating Misty.
Or, you know what that sounds like to me?
Thruple. That'd be fine.
Yeah. I don't want this Danny to have two girlfriends. He's not good enough.
That's one and a half more than he deserves.
Luke could have two girlfriends.
Yeah.
Damn, Luke could have four girlfriends.
Yeah, but he is like a serial monogamist.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's just out every night, pounding the streets, trying to stop that gang from distributing Luke Cage drugs.
I love that corner boy standing there going, I got that Luke Cage! And then literally, the other dude runs by him, and then Luke Cage just standing there looming. What's
yeah.
my name?
That was so great. I love it. We have Misty not having a great time.
Just trying to figure out her place in the world now. It's yeah. gonna be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for her to get a hand up, I think.
No.
You're
because she doesn't
face.
Have an arm. Do you get it?
Your stupid face is so stupid.
I just want to be like, hey, Misty, have you heard there's a place called Wakanda? And they could definitely
like,
make
they
you.
They got some sweet arms.
And they hook you up. Literally, just wander over there and be like, hey, man, like I want to be a cop and I have a problem. Can you help me out?
I need an arm. Maybe you could have some lasers in it or some sort of rocket launcher thing.
I'm very excited for her.
She wants a rocket launcher. She should go knock on Avengers Mansion.
Yeah, she needs to talk to Tony for
if
that.
She wants an arm that will be good at keeping her alive as a cop, she could go talk to Wakanda.
Yeah.
I feel like Shuri could put whatever she wants in there.
I don't think a cop needs a bazooka in her arm.
Doesn't need, sure, but, you know, it can't hurt. Yeah. So she's planning on staying Purple Heart pension retired until she finds out that a bunch of the people she put away.
A grown-ass man who travels the world with the name Cockroach is out of prison.
As one does.
Does one?
Sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Should one?
Probably not, but here we are.
He's would like, one?
It's tough. I'm Cockroach. I survive everything, including nuclear winter.
And I'm disgusting and no one likes me.
Oh, correct.
Oh, God, what's happening?
I hate the light. I live under a refrigerator.
I like to scurry.
I need to go. So she goes back to work. She's like, what's up, new captain? And then Luke shows up, and then it gets weird. Because, you know, I honestly don't blame new captain. Like,
new captain has a point, but Luke also has a point.
Yeah.
And Luke was, like, just doing stuff and got blown up. What was he supposed to do? Leave that guy there to get away?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. So, stupid bodyguard sells Luke out,
sugar.
Which made me very sad.
Don't do it, sugar.
Well, you know what? I mean, maybe Luke could have been a little bit nicer to him. Oh. And not scratched up his car.
Yeah, stuff.
Yeah, Luke, this isn't how you develop.
Yeah, stuff is going to Luke's head right now, I think.
He's getting pretty cocky. His last speech to Mariah was basically, like, please attempt to find a way to kill me. I dare you.
I know, right?
Which is not great, because Mariah and Shades are very creative
yeah.
and very dedicated.
But, plus side, apparently Judas bullets don't pop him anymore, so that's nice.
That's really good to know.
Love that.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe when they rebooted his system out in that cabin, they, like
amped it
doubled
up a bit.
It up or something.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was not super happy about him getting shot in, you know, like,
no,
hurt,
the fact that they exist at all was really bummer for me in season one. I was like, well, great. Yeah, and then for them to come back in episode one, I was like, cool, we have to do this for the whole episode
yeah.
again.
But no, apparently not. He just kind of, it obviously didn't feel great, but, you know, didn't puncture him, so neat.
I love that guy thinks that because you can't shoot Luke with a bullet that you could put him in a truck and blow it up and that would somehow hurt him. Come on.
What? I don't think anyone really understands his powers.
Yeah.
And technically, he should be deaf because it's his skin only, right? Mm. And eardrums, once you get inside of them, they're not made of skin. Unless you count, like, Luke's meat as skin, and then, like, I guess any gene, like, any part of him would also be indestructible.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was a story where Luke got hit by some sort of ray that takes away your superpower. And then he got shot, and then that ray got dispersed. So they couldn't
get the bullet out of him. I remember that. You telling me about that.
And so I think Ant-Man had to, like, go in through his ear or his nose or something, because then you could...
Do so.
You could bypass the part of him that's bulletproof. So mm-hmm. I think you are correct.
Right. So my problem here is...
the inside parts of him.
He got blown up, and your ears don't shut. Like, all your other orifices, generally, you're able to close. At least as a man. But, like, you can't shut your ears.
Maybe they're very flappy, and they just... I guess
his pee hole can't shut.
I believe that's called a urethra.
What'd I say?
It's basically the same thing.
Anyway, I'm just saying his pee hole would have fire in it, and his eardrums would have been destroyed.
Also, what about eyeballs?
He closes his eyes, because his eyes are made of skin.
Okay.
I mean, his eye... Oh, God. His eye covering. What are they called? Lids. His eyelids are made of skin.
Oh,
not
wow.
Not his eyes. That is so gross.
I don't want skin eyes. That sounds terrible.
Gross. His eye coverings are made of skin.
Yeah.
Anyway, eyeball capes.
Anyway, if you're telling me that all the parts of Luke that are able to be accessed by the real world, including, like, his teeth or his literal eyes, the inside of his nose, you're telling me that those are all also bulletproof, fine. But, like, you have to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he technically would have breathed in fire as well. It would have gotten too hot in there for air. And his lungs aren't bulletproof. I'm trying to science this.
I don't know. But he's fine.
He is fine. I'm not surprised he's fine.
He's fine.
He's indestructible.
Yeah.
But I just need clarity.
Shays and Mariah are amazing.
Yeah.
I love them so much. I love how important they are to each other, very obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I know every scene they're in, they're always sort of vaguely touching in
very couple-y, near each other,
reassuring way. Yes. When he'll put his hand on her shoulder.
When Luke came at her and she stayed seated, as Luke was leaving, Shade's hand was on her upper arm.
Yeah.
Just as, like, I'm here standing next to you, and I love it so much. He loves her so much. And they're like, I like that they're partners, that they talk everything through, and she values getting away from the Stokes name or clearing the Stokes name or what the fuck ever her problem is. And because she values it, he values it.
Yeah, he's
even
like,
even though he has no reason to.
I don't like this, but, you know, it makes you happy.
But
so.
If it makes you happy, I will help you get there.
Yeah.
But the guy they were going to sell to is in jail now, so they're going to have to go with Plan B.
Yeah. One half of... Because they were going to sell to those two guys, right? And... Luke captured one.
I think they were trying to get one of the two to be the one they sell to.
Oh, I thought those two were working together.
No, it was like a negotiation for all three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Cockroach reps someone else. So yeah. There's the three of them proposing to Mariah why she should give them her Judas guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to go with the furniture guy.
Because he's stable and not an insane person.
Yeah, El Rey.
And cares about the line between Washington Heights and Harlem, mm-hmm. which Mariah doesn't want Judas guns running around Harlem. Mm-hmm. She still cares about it as a place.
Yeah. And then we have a Bushmaster show up, and
he's apparently also bulletproof.
Bullet resistant. Because they definitely
went into him.
Yeah, they were partly in.
You're right. He's bullet resistant and very fast.
Yeah. He's got some sweet moves.
He does. I think that Luke needs to do some sparring with someone.
Yeah, he's not a great fighter.
Well, no, he's trained as a cop, so he's trained militaristically and as a cop to be a fighter, but, he's not, he's not that kind of
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all meat, potatoes, punches, and kicks, whereas...
Right. Whereas this guy is a lot of spinning.
This guy mm-hmm. is, looks like he went to the Red Room. He's got some Black Widow training.
So, I feel like Luke needs to spend some weekends at the new Avengers HQ and do some sparring with some people.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
seriously.
At the very least, with Danny.
Or Colleen.
Colleen's got is a great fighter.
Yeah.
How to use all the parts of your body.
You use your elbows and your legs and your knees, and you're a big man with a lot of mass, and you should be able to use that beyond just, punching someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're in some trouble because there's a crazy Jamaican dude coming after us.
Now. Yeah. He seems cool. Yeah. I'm excited to see where that goes.
It was interesting, though, when he first shows up and he has that really interesting accent, and I thought, oh, man, is he going to be, from Wakanda or something? Because that would be really cool. But, no, I was wrong.
You thought that sounded Wakandan?
Well, all the people...
That was so Jamaican.
Yeah, that was hella crazy. Jamaican.
We actually had to put the subtitles on for the Jamaican-Jamaican conversation because they were speaking, Jamaican English. They were mm-hmm. swallowing connective words and using verbs in weird ways. And
mm-hmm.
it was very much the way in which other cultures utilize English along with their own native languages. So it was great that it was in the show at all. but also, like, have a white English person ear.
Yeah.
So it was tough.
So, yeah, with the captions, which they even, most of the time, they spelled phonetically, which
yeah, they fit it to what they were actually saying, nice. Which I liked. That's because cool. Then it keeps with the feeling of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I liked a lot, is respecting people's cultures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then I could get more from context about what they were actually saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. That guy, all his guys are dead now. Well, not all of them. He's dead.
No, he's dead.
Two of his guys are dead.
And it looks like a Bushmaster is taking over the Jamaican gang.
Jamaican yeah. Queens.
So, it's not going to be great because he's
going to take some of the other boroughs and then come for Harlem.
Yeah, it looks like he's prepping a...
He's going to take Brooklyn first, apparently.
Yeah. A bunch of punks.
I don't think Steve's gonna like that.
Steve's not worried about Brooklyn right now.
Yeah, he's got bigger fish to fry.
Steve is worried about the galaxy.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's gonna have to figure its own shit out. This is why we have street level heroes.
Oh, but Spider-Man.
I'm interested to know when this takes place. Because if it's after,
it's gotta be pre. Because yeah, they're not talking about half the world disappearing.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be on the news.
Yes. You would think so.
I think these are all going to be pre-snap, and they're all going to end at the snap.
I could see
or,
that,
like,
yeah.
End before the snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, we'll come back for season 3 of Jessica Jones.
And it'll be after they fix the snap.
It's like, oh, wasn't that weird when half the population
disappeared for one year and then came back, and it was like nothing happened?
I would hope that, to, like, take a brief tangent into Avengers universe, that I would hope that if it takes them a year to figure out how to solve it, that we still have to live with that year having passed,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't just turn the clock back and 1 minute has passed.
Because mm-hmm.
that would suck. I would like it better if we have to acknowledge that year happened.
I agree, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's not.
Ah!
They have a time stone. They're going to snap it to the moment and make sure it doesn't happen.
Boo. Boo,
sorry,
I don't like
kids.
It. Boo.
Welcome to the comics. Nothing
I want
changes.
My Why the Last Man, but with all genders.
I handed Why the Last Man to Ingrid to read.
Nice.
I should bug her about whether or not she's been reading
the comic. Did you read it? Also, that in Bitch Planet, right?
Mm-hmm. I say mine. They were Beatrice's.
I was still in bed, and she came in, and she's like, can I steal comic books off your shelf to give to Ingrid? I'm like, yeah, sure.
No signed ones.
That's,
yeah.
That's true friendship.
The signed ones don't leave.
Mine are gone, so I feel like I've loaned them to people and forgotten. So I just have to, like, re-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to buy all new number ones.
That works.
Ones. I'm not made of money.
Anyway.
Okay. And that is this show.
I think that's it for us this week.
Yeah. We've got Preacher next week.
Kenneth and I are going to watch Preacher.
Yeah.
And then tell Beatrice, who will go in cold, the story of Preacher season 3.
Well, and I think Monica and I are going to tell you what happened on Cloak and Dagger.
I may just start checking out on that one.
Yes, no, we give you permission, because let me tell you how much more fun it's going to be for us to be like, okay, so here's what went down on Cloak and Dagger this week.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it.
And then we'll sell it to you, so you don't have to live through it.
And then we'll sell it in a way where you'll be like, oh, I should watch this again.
And then I'll try, and they'll be like, oh, nope, never mind. I'm back out.
It's
going to
be fine.
When do we get Wine on Art Fest?
I don't think it's until mid-July.
That is garbage. Yeah.
I know.
And I'm going to write a letter.
Okay. That will change things.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else coming out? Are they developing any summer shows that are going to go on our list?
I don't think so.
Like, is Cloak & Dagger our only new summer show?
I believe so, yeah. I'll double check. Before next week, but I know.
I haven't really heard about anything.
I know Titans is coming out sometime.
Live action, right?
Yeah, but I don't know when that is.
Yeah, I think they're still filming that. It'll probably be in the fall. It'll mm-hmm. be in fall.
I can see that, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so on that note, we'll be back next week with Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Cloak and Dagger, and Preacher since Supergirl's done. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Same BAM time, same POW channel.
BAM POW!